This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
An Erio's original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist. Woo! Hey! While that intro is very dramatic, I think it's a really good representation of the kind of stuff that we're going to be talking about on this podcast. I'm Rebecca. I'm an actor, comedian, and a history enthusiast. And, you know, every episode I'm going to have a friend on. We're going to really dissect one of history's greatest disasters. We're going to really dig deep and we're going to try and get to the bottom of who's to blame in all of these catastrophes, because that's really important. You know, we should all be pointing fingers and figuring out whose fault things are. For today's episode, we're going to start with a maritime disaster. And look, I'm from Miami, so I know that a lot of crazy stuff goes down on boats, but this was above and beyond. If you haven't figured it out yet, we're talking about the Titanic. The Titanic was a passenger boat that sunk during its first voyage across the Atlantic Ocean on the early morning of April 15, 1912, after hitting an iceberg. It set sail from Southampton, but never made it to its destination, New York City. Shipbuilders advertised the Titanic as an unsinkable ship, practically setting themselves up for failure. It's believed that 1,503 people lost their lives, and it's considered one of the deadliest commercial maritime disasters in history. The sinking of the Titanic has intrigued many people throughout history, including director James Cameron, who gave us the masterpiece that is Titanic, starring Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet. If you disagree with the statement, you are dead inside. Okay, so here are my fun facts, aka death stats. 75% of female passengers survived on the Titanic. 20% of male passengers survived on the Titanic. If you were a passenger in first class, you had a 61% chance of survival. If you were a passenger in second class, you had 42% chance of survival. And if you were a passenger in third class, you had a 24% chance of survival. Now, I'm gonna break it down for you. Of the men who were on this boat, 57 men survived from first class, 14 men survived from second class, and 75 men survive from third class. Now, you're probably thinking, oh, that's a lot more people who survived from third class, but actually, there were so many more people in third class that 75 men surviving is still a really bad number. 192 men who were crew survived. Worst thing to be on the Titanic was a man in second class. Now, that's all you really need to know. And let me introduce you all to my first guest, Adam Lustig.
Hello.
He's a dear friend of mine,
a
comedian,
yes.
And also a person who catastrophizes.
All the time. I thought it was just me and every other Jewish person I know, but it's you too. Any room I walk into, any new space that I inhabit, my first thoughts are, what is hanging above me that could fall on me and lead to paralysis or death?
Yeah.
What is flammable and is likely to catch fire? Where would I exit in the case of a flood or a menace or a robber? So those are all my first, I rifle through all those first thoughts, just like you, I suppose.
Yeah. One of my favorite stories about you when we were living in New York.
Yes.
Was that you would walk around just waiting for an air conditioner to fall on your head.
So much so that I don't understand how that's not the most common fear of all urban dwellers where there are high rises anywhere. It would be the first thing I would clock. I would step out onto a New York City's sidewalk, instantly look up, clock all of the air conditioners that were, I mean, look. We went to college together at NYU in the Village, and I installed my own air conditioning unit, and I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to do or how to do it or that it's secure. I plugged it in, slammed down the wings, good to go, off to drink. So, like, I know the mental state of one putting in their air conditioning unit. I don't trust myself. Ergo, I don't trust humans.
Yes.
So I would always walk on the, almost to a dangerous degree, maybe, way closer to the traffic.
You know, and you brought that up. I had never thought of that. I
implanted that one.
Yes, I used to think like a killer was my biggest threat.
Yes.
Perhaps falling into the subway and getting hit.
Yes.
That was my biggest threat.
Yes.
And until you said that...
I incepted that fear into
you. Yes, and that's the only thing I think about when I walk around New York City.
Well, I have to say, it sort of relates to the Titanic, mm-hmm. in which, like, for me, I am afraid of human menace and malice and people like bad faith actors and people with ill intent and someone who's going to mug me or rob me or hurt me physically. What I think I'm afraid of more is human incompetence.
Oh.
And not malevolence, but ignorance. And it's not like, I mean, the Titanic... Titanic.
Yes.
The proper pronunciation, the Titanic. It's not like these people were out to hit this iceberg with no malevolence, no malintent. It is just human foible and improper calculations. One might say it is the air conditioning unit of the sea.
So we share a common fear.
Yes.
Or a common lifestyle.
Skepticism.
Yes.
Yes. Of our fellow man and their expertise.
So, I mean, let's get down to business and let's really delve into...
Great.
Who screwed up?
Yeah.
You know, who is at fault?
Yes.
Now, a little backstory. A lot of people don't know this, but there were only 20 lifeboats.
20?
On the Titanic.
20?
Yes. Yes. Now, I'm going to give you some information
that
will blow your mind.
Okay.
Okay?
You were so confident.
According to multiple internet sources like TitanicFacts.net.
Run by James Cameron.
So
great.
The Titanic was equipped to carry 64 lifeboats.
Okay.
Okay. Each of them had a capacity of 65 people, right?
Oh, wow.
So let's do the math, right? That means if it was able to save the lives of 4,160 people.
Oh, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Not insignificant.
And here's another set. Okay.
Yeah.
When it sank that day,
there
were only 2,224 passengers on board.
So they, in theory, and crew.
Oh. So they only had half the people. Okay.
Yes.
So,
I think the boat was designed to accommodate everybody. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So we're starting off. We've got the boat.
Yep.
There's plenty of space.
Yep.
To save people.
Yep.
What happens? Well, the designers, the architects, they were like, "Ah, it's a little cluttered.
Bummer.
Just doesn't look too good
aesthetically."
Yeah,
it bumps up
against
our aesthetic.
But you know what? It's unsinkable. This ship's not going anywhere. Let's just slap 20 out of 64.
64, no chance that it will have a problem.
I'm already upset that we have to put 20.
Yes,
it looks disgusting.
Yes.
But let's go with it because what the heck?
They're like, we're going for like a minimal kind of sort of minimal vibe. It should, the lifeboats just don't really work with the aesthetic.
Yeah.
So, okay. So if you do the math, there's only 20 lifeboats.
Mm-hmm.
65 people
yes.
allowed in these lifeboats.
Yes.
That can save 1,178 people.
So roughly half of the passengers.
53.4%.
Okay,
great. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. And already, if you're a person yes. on the Titanic, your yes. odds suck.
Yeah.
You're,
yeah.
It sucks.
Yes.
Okay. Here's where it gets really upsetting. There were 28 people on board the first lifeboat, which had a capacity of 65.
You're not
28.
Not full to capacity.
No.
Not at, yep.
The ship's sinking.
Yes.
Let's just put 28.
Yes.
We already, okay.
Yes.
So now the number of people that could have been saved.
Yes.
Went from 1,178, which is already half.
Half.
To 1,141. So that's leaving 1,083 people doomed to die.
And you're saying that's only
from the get-go.
That's because they didn't use the capacity of the lifeboats that they had. They yes. only filled them halfway.
Yes.
They could have doubled up, saved way more people.
Exactly.
Why didn't they? Impatience and panic.
Impatience, panic.
Panic.
Class.
Class.
First class.
That's where it gets dicey. This is what I'm fascinated by.
It was too stuffy. They didn't yeah. want to be too stuffed.
Yes. The upstairs, downstairs, Downton Abbey nature of it is really intriguing,
exactly.
isn't it? The richies go first.
Out of these 1,178 spots yeah. available on the boat,
yes.
only 706 passengers and crew survived.
Ah.
That's 31.6% ah. of those on
yeah.
board.
Yeah.
So that's like 2 out of 3 people
yes.
died
yes.
on the Titanic.
Yes.
And that's 435 more deaths than there needed to be. Based on the resources that the shitty resources they already weren't using.
Wow.
Yeah. So
these facts are fun as hell.
Let's talk about it. So
yeah.
And this is where the people that were on the Titanic
yeah.
kind of come into play.
Yes.
Have you heard of the unsinkable Molly Brown?
Only because it's our mutual friend Chris Mendelkin's fantasy football name, but not for any other actual reason.
You've never questioned
no.
why he's the unsinkable Molly Brown?
Only that he's eccentric. I've never even thought to ask.
Margaret Brown
okay.
was a, you might remember her as Kathy Bates in the movie.
Love Kathy Bates.
Titanic.
Love Kathy Bates.
Okay. So she's a nouveau riche.
Yes.
They didn't really like her. She was a little outspoken. And she got on one of the first lifeboats.
Good for Molly.
I think she got a number 6.
Okay.
I don't know if they were going like 1 through 20.
yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't there, but.
Yeah.
But she got a number 6.
Great.
So she's putting people on the lifeboats. She's out there. The sink, the ship sinks.
Yes.
And she says, "We got to go back."
Why?
We got to go back and get these people who are flailing in the water.
She's just a good Samaritan.
Yes. Just remember that it was freezing cold.
God.
I think you had like 20 minutes to survive before you got hypothermia.
If you're in the water. Oh, no, that's what happened to poor Jack.
I mean, Jack survived
a little longer.
Because half of his body was out.
Love kept him alive. Love kept him alive for a little bit.
A few minutes longer.
Let that be a lesson to you. Love really only keeps you alive for a few extra minutes.
Another thing you should know is that
yeah.
it took about an hour and a half, 2 hours for the ship to actually sink.
That's what I was going to ask you. 2 hours.
Think about what's going through your mind.
Yeah, a slow death.
Okay,
a slow death.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yes.
Okay. So what I was telling you about Margaret Brown was that she went back and she wanted to go back and save these people.
Oh, sweetheart.
Well, I forget what you call them. The people that were running these lifeboats,
yes.
they had like people in charge.
Yes.
And they were like, we're not going back. Too many people are going to want to get on board.
Of course.
And we're all going to die.
Totally.
So they developed this
practical.
Totally selfish. You know, there's a story where she fought with the main
guy. I'm going back, Dave.
Yeah, we're going back. She grabbed an oar
yeah.
and like tried to go back. And I don't know if she ever, no one knows if she actually did.
Where's that spinoff movie, Kathy Bates?
Well, they made the musical. Have you ever heard of the unsinkable Molly Brown?
This is all new information to me.
Oh my God.
I'm an ignoramus.
I'm going to learn to read and write.
No, but I support those dreams.
I'm going to see what there is to see.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
So if you color, somewhere on the road, just anyway, you know it's me. Whatever, Molly. It doesn't matter. She was, let's put her in the hero category.
Because, I would say
you know,
so.
Of course, we're trying to figure out who's to blame.
To blame.
Obviously.
Yes.
But she's already in the hero.
We celebrate you, Molly.
Yeah. Let's put in the possible people to blame.
Yes.
The head person of the lifeboat, of Lifeboat 6.
Yes.
I think there was a name. There's a name for him, and I wrote it down.
Great.
And his name is...
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Sherman. Morty. Ricardo.
Robert Hitchens.
Yep. That's
yes.
British.
So put that down. Robert Hitchens.
Bob?
We'll write that on the board.
Bob, you're on the board, buddy. You got a bullseye on your back, pal.
Adam, I got to ask you a very difficult question.
Yes.
If you were one of these people on the lifeboat, which you wouldn't have been because you would have been
a man. In second or third class, definitely.
A man, but let's say someone was like, give that guy an oar and
yes.
put him on that boat.
Yes.
Would you have gone back?
If I was on the boat with the unsinkable Margaret Brown and she was like, we're going back to save more. If I'm on the boat, I am deeply ashamed to say this. Deeply, profoundly,
oh God.
I feel... I already feel my cheeks getting flush with guilt, literally in real time as we speak right now. I would have been like, Molly, with all due respect, my dear, sit your ass down. We gotta save ourselves. I mean, look, if I had a spouse, if I had a cousin,
you're
if I had a
family. You're with Bob. You're with Bob Hitchens.
Like I said, I wasn't proud. I'm not proud of it, but I would be. I think that if I were in a real fight or flight, life or death scenario, I had just escaped the unsinkable ship that is now sinking before my eyes.
Yeah.
I think that I would be in such a heightened sort of panicked self-preservation-y state that I don't know if I would have. I mean, I think hopefully my better angels would have gotten the better of me and would have been like, you're right, let's be patient, let's go back, we have plenty of time. I think I would have been hyperventilating, weeping, and almost maybe wheezing, dare I say, screaming with fear. So I think that I would have been on the, Molly, please sit down and let's just go, every man, woman, child for him or their self.
I'll tell you that, you would have been cold, and when you're uncomfortable... You make bad decisions.
Bad decisions.
I don't want to die.
Yeah.
I've thought through how long I have to live, yeah. how cold it is. I'm from Miami.
That's right.
Cold water is really not my thing.
Exactly.
So here's another passenger, and this relates to who's to blame. Frederick Fleet.
Okay, Fred Fleet. Okay.
Fred Fleet was
great
the
names,
first,
by the way.
I mean.
God, Jesus.
This is 1914.
So good.
So,
oh my
no,
gosh.
No, 1912.
Love it.
So Fred was the first of two to spot the iceberg.
Wow.
Okay. He's along with a guy named Reginald.
Great.
Another great name.
Fred and Reggie.
He was the lookout on duty at the moment that
oh
it hit.
Oh my God.
And later he testified that had he had binoculars, he thinks that he would have been able to see the iceberg sooner. When yeah. someone asked how much sooner,
yeah.
he said enough to get out of the way. And here's my question. Why did they not have binoculars?
It's lookouts. 1912, folks.
Here's what I dug. Just before the Titanic set sail, White Star Line, which is the company that ran the Titanic,
great.
Reassigned the second officer by the name of David Blair,
okay.
important name. They reassigned him to another ship because it was so last minute.
Yep.
Blair accidentally took with him the
binoculars.
Key.
No. Oh.
Worse. The key to the storage locker
brutal,
on the Titanic
David.
That held
David,
the
David,
binoculars.
David. What a significant mistake. What a historically significant whoopsie daisy. Because that's a true whoopsie daisy. You forget a key. So much going on. Boats. It's 1912. It's tax week. You got a lot to consider. David's got a lot in his mind. One teeny little mistake. The key to the thing that holds the binoculars. Honestly, it probably crossed his mind. He probably reached in his pocket.
Like,
and
it's
shit. I didn't forget to give this to Fred. Whatever. It's totally unsinkable. Anyway, on with my life. I would submit, Rebecca, I don't want to step on your toes
okay,
on your podcast.
Go on.
I would submit David is...
David Blair.
David
put him
Blair,
on the board.
Put him on the board.
Right next to Robert Hitchinson.
Right next to Bob.
Well, I mean, look, Bob, we should specify. It wasn't... The Titanic sinking was not Bob's fault.
No.
A few extra passengers dying was
that's
possibly...
That's on you, Bob. That's on your shoulders for
Bob.
Sure. Yep.
But David Blair.
Yeah.
Fred survives, right? Of course,
yeah.
David Blair's living his happy life, never been traumatized.
Exactly.
And Fred survives, of course, years after. He,
yes.
He's depressed. He suffers from depression.
Yes.
And committed
ultimate
suicide.
Committed God,
suicide.
Brutal.
It's a hard one to live with.
Brutal. The ultimate survivor's guilt.
So, I mean, he's way up there.
Yeah.
We've got David.
Yeah.
Not Fred.
Not-
it wasn't his fault. It was a... look, he paid his dues, I guess
yeah.
you could say. Because they say it took 30 seconds from the moment he spotted
Jesus.
The iceberg to the moment they actually hit.
Oh, my God. No time at all.
Nothing.
No time
but,
at all.
But think about it. If you're down in the... bottom of the ship
yes.
and you hear the bell and they're like turn it around
yes.
you're like oh 30 seconds is no time to turn
all.
It around but if you're Fred and you see the Titanic you see the iceberg
yep.
and then let's wait 30 seconds
yep
and then you're just watching impending doom
that 30 seconds is a lifetime for Fred Fleet
apparently that night the night of the Titanic the waves it was a very calm night and the moon was very dim.
Yes.
So I don't dark. Know how the tides were.
Yes.
But I'm assuming low, the low wattage
yes.
of the moon.
The
of
wattage.
The moon.
Yes. Yes. Just 22 amps.
Made everything a little calm, so
yeah.
you couldn't see far out, and
yeah.
you also couldn't hear the waves crashing,
lapping up against
iceberg.
The iceberg. Totally placid
so,
night.
It was just a perfect storm.
Bummer.
Perfect storm for death.
So, and you said that it sunk in the early morning and it took 2 hours. So, yeah, I suppose it crashed into the iceberg, sort of pitch pre-dawn, pitch blackness, like
oh,
the
yeah.
dead
yes,
of night.
Dead
in
of
my
night.
Mind, it's like 3:30 a.m.
Yes,
or like 4
I mean, according to the movie.
Yes.
They've already had dinner and I mean, they already had sex.
Yes.
And if you recall, people are coming out of their rooms in their pajamas.
Yep.
Even Fabrizio, who,
Fabrizio
as
is.
You know, from the night before partied so hard.
Yes.
He was already in bed. So
yeah.
I'm
so
giving
late.
You like a 2 a.m.
2 a.m., 3 a.m. That's my instinct.
I could probably get the right
yeah,
answer.
Exact.
But let's just go with the Fabrizio
Fabrizio.
Effect.
Yes. It's late,
2 a.m. Even Fabrizio's in bed.
So can I just ask
yeah.
a few questions, just because I am fairly ignorant when it comes to the Titanic,
okay.
just in
yeah.
general. It was a it was exclusively a passenger ship, and it was like fairly luxurious.
Absolutely.
Super luxurious. So even the people that were sort of in the second tier or third tier were kind of wealthy. I mean, if you were on the Titanic at all, you were rich.
You know, back in the day, they actually used ships to actually travel.
Yes.
Which is, it's not like, it wasn't
just for fun.
Cruise thing. They were like, oh, I got to get back to New York, so let me take this ship.
This unsinkable, majestic ship.
So some people in the third class were literally just trying to get back home. Everyone was literally trying to get back home.
Yes, no one's just riding this Titanic for fun.
Here's the thing, and James Cameron does a really great job in this movie. I mean, what a historian he's turned out to be. If you recall, there's a scene where the captain of the ship says, I wanted to get there sooner. I want to impress them by getting there a little ahead of schedule. And
we can overachieve. Not only are we unsinkable, we're unsinkable and overachievers.
He tells them to go faster. I mean, I think we should put the captain up on the board.
Oh, well, yeah. It is like on a Greek tragic scale of arrogance and hubris to be like, to go out and shout from the global rooftops, we have built the unsinkable ship. This ship is you are asking for it. I mean, that is the definition of hubris. That is the definition of pride.
White Star Line, I think, is the company that owned and ran the Titanic.
Yes, very much.
Let's put those on the board.
Absolutely.
Let's put White Star on the board.
Are you kidding me? And the captain goes on the board for sure. It is almost like the biggest, not to be crass or crude or anything, but it is almost like a very tragic historical example of like men flexing their manliness and their masculinity. There is like a bit of a penis proxy for this ship.
Yes.
The biggest, hardest, unsinkable ship ever.
You bring up a really good point because perhaps society is really to blame for the sinking of the Titanic. The patriarchy.
Yes.
The patriarchy is what sunk the Titanic.
I don't think that's terribly unfair. I think that is definitely in the psychological soup.
Okay, so let's just do a rundown of who's on the board.
Great.
Right? We've got Fred. No, Fred is not on the board.
We're gonna take him
out.
He was circumstantial. Yeah. He's just in the shitty position of being the first one to see. He's not to blame.
He's out. We've got David Blair. He's the guy with the keys. We've got the captain.
For sure, dude. It's like you're at the top of the food chain. The buck stops there, pal.
Yes. We have, and with the captain is White Star.
No doubt about it.
And we also have society.
Society.
We have society to blame for the sinking of the Titanic.
For creating a sort of culture of arrogance and achievement that would sort of encourage a group of arrogant, hubristic, bombastic men to floor it, pedal to the metal, baby. Let's get there in 5 days, not six. Let's show New York what's up.
I already think I know who's to blame. But I want to ask you.
Okay, great. Let me just sort of briefly again recap in my own mind. We have the captain, obviously, and with that, the company White Star, a name I'm not crazy about, to be honest with you, sort of evokes arrogance to me right away. The patriarchal society, one that would create a culture of arrogance, big time. That is big time for me. I know that's not, doesn't have the satisfaction of pinning it on an individual, but to me, that has a lot of sway in my mind. David with the key, bummer, bro. Big time bummer. Big time circumstantial bummer, but I don't lay the blame too quickly. I forget my keys everywhere I go. So, I mean, again, it's circumstantial and the binoculars would have helped, my man, but I forget everything always. And so I have complete empathy. For me, it's between the captain, because you're the captain of the ship and it's sort of all, you know, shit trickles downhill and sort of all roads lead up to the captain. So to me, it's between the captain and a patriarchal society. Kind of intertwined, those two things are sort of inextricable in my mind. The captain is a product of said society. I'm going to go ahead, and I hope this isn't a cop-out, but I'm going to take the sort of long lens, broad view, and say that the sinking of the Titanic, who is at fault, is a culture of patriarchal arrogance.
Well, I can't totally disagree with you, but here's my thing.
Please.
Here's my thing.
Please.
I agree that society is to blame. Okay. But at the end of the day, this captain, my captain, he had a choice. He could have said, I'm not going to listen to this society thing.
Yes.
I'm going to take care of these people.
Yeah.
Because he knew how many lifeboats were on the boat. I'm going to give it to the captain.
And sorry, he survived? You happen
no,
to know if
he's... No.
Oh, dead. Okay, yeah, well, at least there's that.
Captain's dead. We know the captain says, and also James Cameron, our hero...
Yes.
has that wonderful scene where the captain locks himself up in the cabin and looks... As this boat is sinking, the windows break, and he drowns.
He knows what he did.
Yeah, he knew. Okay, so it's settled.
Yep.
The captain and society... are to blame. They're going to jail. So thank you so much for
Rebecca, thank
joining
you
us
for
today.
Having me. This was a real treat.
So have we learned from the Titanic? Yes. There haven't been disasters like the Titanic since. And according to dummies.com, a lot of things changed after this horrible accident. One of the things that changed were they made sure that enough lifeboats were carried on board. After the accident, ships were required to provide one seat for every passenger and crew member on a lifeboat. Wow. Like, what a novel idea. Another thing that changed was the International Ice Patrol was established. Now, this organization monitors icebergs in the Arctic and North Atlantic Ocean, and it broadcasts information about their locations. So since this was put in place, not a single accident involving a ship and an iceberg has occurred. Okay, so that's good. Another thing that changed was that the design of ships changed. So the ship hulls were made stronger to prevent them from being breached and flooded by objects such as icebergs. So these were kind of the changes and regulations that happened from this disaster. And I'm glad we've all learned from it. But as far as I know, no legislation has been put in place against the patriarchy. Vote for who you think is to blame on our website, thealarmistpodcast.com. If you feel like we left someone out that you think should be blamed, send us an email at thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com and let us know your thoughts. Okay, so next week, we're going to be talking about one of my favorite fires, the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire. And I mean, if you're a big legislation head, you're going to want to listen to this because a lot of legislation came out of it. Guys, it was crazy.
Earios.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.